Since September 11th, the nation has spent billions of dollars to improve homeland security and plans to spend tens of billions more. But are Americans safer today? And where's all that money going? NPR sent three reporters to Florida, a state with many potential terrorist targets. Today, Pam Fussler reports on some of the country's more ambitious homeland defense programs.
The wind is whipping past palm trees and a flag at half-staff here at Patrick Air Force Base on Florida's Central Coast. Somber military and civilian police officers have gathered to honor their fallen comrades. A top official at the base, Colonel Samuel Dick, tells the officers something they already know. The difference between their missions is no longer clear.
The emphasis we place in military is on foreign threats. The emphasis that our law enforcement friends place is on domestic threats. But those threats are not exclusive. And since September, we've seen a tremendous cooperation.
At Patrick Air Force Base, that's meant state and local police working with the military to protect a highly classified site. It's also meant joint exercises on how to respond to chemical, biological, or nuclear attack. Government officials at all levels are trying to weave their efforts together into a protective blanket for the nation. And those on the front lines say federal funds and coordination are critical as they try to confront some frightening new challenges.
This is information on smallpox and anthrax.
A few miles north of the base, federal, state, and local authorities are gathering for a mock bioterrorism attack. The exercise is being held in a cavernous glass and steel terminal at Port Canaveral, where passengers usually wait to board vacation cruises to the Bahamas.
Hey, Major, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Today, about 100 people, representing the police, emergency workers, hospitals, the military, and others, sit around huge tables with computers and telephones. A contractor for the U.S. Department of Justice presents a made-up but sobering scenario.
Day one, local television station is reporting to police now that they've received a fax from a group claiming to have actually released smallpox, both at an amusement park in Orlando and also on a cruise ship docked here at Port Canaveral.
The assignment for those here is to figure out how to work together to stop the disease and the crisis from spreading. The media is asked to leave to permit a more frank exchange. Afterwards, State Domestic Security Chief Steve Lauer says he's pleased with the results, but that Florida can only do so much without more money from federal agencies.
Florida did not wait, but as we move down this line, those resources provided by FEMA, by the Department of Justice, by HHS, are absolutely critical to what we need.
The Bush administration has promised billions of dollars for so-called first responders, those likely to arrive first on the scene of a terrorist attack. But most of that money won't be approved by Congress until later this year. People here are also desperate for something else, information. FBI Special Agent Bill Hajeski heads one of more than 50 joint terrorism task forces set up by the Department of Justice nationwide to ease the flow of intelligence among law enforcement officials. Hajeski has several investigators on loan from state and local agencies and says the information is flowing.
I meet regularly with the heads of all agencies and brief them on where we're going, how we're going there, and what we need to get there.
But tell that to Philip Williams, the blunt-speaking sheriff here in Brevard County. He says a lot of the information he gets from the federal government is too general to be of much help, and that barriers need to be removed.
I have an application pending with the FBI to obtain a secret clearance for myself so that the agents that I employ and have loaned to the FBI can tell me what they're doing. It's a little ironic.
Williams isn't the only one impatient with federal bureaucracy. Congress has approved $93 million to improve port security, but so far, no one has seen a dime here at Port Canaveral, the second busiest cruise port in the world.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for sailing with us. Watch ahead. Watch ahead.
1,000 mostly elderly passengers leave the Ambassador II cruise ship after an afternoon gambling at sea. Four casino cruises depart daily from this port. On other days, ships run by Disney, Royal Caribbean, and Carnival carry more than 1 million passengers a year to the Caribbean. Cargo ships dock here from all over, and when boosters from the space shuttle are retrieved, this is where they come in. Port Director Mac McClouth says he knew immediately after September 11th that his port was a potential target.
We had to do what we had to do, so we bought a boat. I've got a sheriff's deputy, armed sheriff's deputy, and he patrols the waters, and we keep people out of the basin that harbors our main cruise terminals.
The port also installed new fences and other security measures at a cost of about $1 million. McClouth hopes to recoup some of that money and the millions more he'll spend building facilities so the Immigration and Naturalization Service can check all passengers who come ashore, something it doesn't do now. McClouth doesn't mind the cost as much as the proposed government regulations he received to go along with the project.
It is the most bureaucratic piece of garbage I've ever seen. I mean, it'll take us 3 years to build something like that because of all the checks. By the time they get this thing approved, why, I'll have it already built. I mean, you know, we just can't wait.
Federal authorities say they're moving as quickly as they can to provide the cooperation, funding, and information needed in Florida and elsewhere. The White House Office of Homeland Security is expected to release a National Homeland Defense Strategy next month. In the meantime, Carl Brown, the area port director for the U.S. Customs Service, understands the frustrations. Everyone's feeling their way in the post-9/11 world, he says, including the federal government. Brown says border agencies, such as INS and Customs, are working together now in ways they never did before.
They did their thing, we did ours, and the two never mixed.
Today, he says, the agencies share much more information here at Orlando Airport, where Brown is based.
Welcome to Orlando International Airport.
Before international flights arrive, Customs and INS agents have already checked the passenger lists, comparing names against law enforcement databases to find those who might need to be stopped or closely watched. Before September 11th, airlines submitted these lists voluntarily. Now they're required to do so. This flight from Amsterdam is met by about a dozen customs agents, bearing guns, new radiation detection devices, and the profiles of a few suspicious passengers. One agent has a dog.
I got an alert on a bag over there, and then I got an alert on a gentleman coming down the jetway, so we're waiting for him to clear immigration, and then we're going to let him pick up his bags and send him to secondary.
Secondary, that's the area where agents usually search for drugs. Now they've been trained to look for something much harder to detect. They say even a minor slip-up in response to a routine question can be revealing.
Are you staying in Orlando for a little while, or are you going to fly out tonight?
Port Director Carl Brown says customs and other agencies are making some headway in securing the nation's borders. But like many here in Florida, he's also a realist.
I'm not going to tell you that we've got it tight as a drum, and our American citizens need not have to worry. It's going to take many years, I feel, for this country to ultimately be wrapped tight, so to speak.
And that, he says, will take more people in training and cooperation up and down the government hierarchy. Here as elsewhere, Homeland Security is very much a work in progress. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Port Canaveral.